Well, good morning. Thankful to be with you all this morning and have another chance to take a look at another of these precious promises of grace that we've been slowly working our way through the scriptures for this session. And we've seen so far that as we read God's word, as we dig out these promises of grace and we treasure them up, we actually have something solid to stand on. And it's not our performance, not our promises, not our track record, but God's promises, His performance, His track record towards us. And this morning I want to take us to two verses and two promises. That's right. You get two promises in one devotion this morning. And so the two passages of Scripture we want to look at this morning are from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm going to read those out for us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us, I am confident of this, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. The spring semester of my sophomore year at Davidson, I got to go study abroad, and I and 15 other students and one professor filled backpacks with maybe two pairs of underwear, a couple changes of clothes, all of our books, and we backpacked around Italy and Greece and Turkey and France, and we were studying Greek and Roman art and architecture and culture and history. And that was my major. I was a classics major, a Latin major. And so we spent all of our time touring around, backpacking around for this whole semester, just feasting on these unbelievable sites, the Colosseum, the Duomo, the Parthenon. Some of you guys have visited these places, and you've seen them yourselves. And there was one artist that kind of we saw all over the place, and it was Michelangelo. And of course, you know him as the painter, the mastermind behind the Sistine Chapel, St. Peter's in Rome. That just painful, laborious work of painting that ceiling day after day on the scaffolding. And you might also know him for one of his most famous statues, and that is the statue of King David that's in Florence. And it's in this gallery called the Galleria dell'Accademia. Now, I don't speak Italian, but I just said it like that, so you might think I speak Italian. But it's there, and it is the centerpiece of this whole museum. People line up. Crowds upon crowds, cameras taking pictures of this finished, beautiful work of art, painstakingly crafted by this master craftsman, Michelangelo. Well, we went there on our trip, and I was fascinated by these hallways in which you could look down the hallway into the main gallery and see this statue just standing in all its majesty and all of its glory. But I was even more captivated by these little statues and figures on the way that line the hallways into that main gallery in which the finished work of David stood. And what caught my eye, what captivated me, were lining these walls in anticipation of this finished product were all these figures and statues and likenesses that were just halfway done. They were basically these big slabs of marble in which figures were halfway emerging, kind of halfway coming out of the stone, and you could kind of see what they were, but they weren't finished. And they were unremarkable, they were easily overlooked, they didn't kind of bear the same fame and glory as the David. In fact, they're called non finito, unfinished, incomplete works. And Michelangelo had hundreds of them, and they're on display there in that gallery. And what captivated me was you could stand next to this unfinished work and feast your eyes down the hallway upon this finished work. Such a contrast, such a progression. There was this figure, this statue, this likeness that was just waiting to be carved out of, to be released from, to emerge from this block of marble. But there they stood, incomplete, unfinished, halfway emerging. You know, when I think about my life, and as I listen to your life, our lives are littered with unfinished projects. If you went into my garage in Davidson, North Carolina this afternoon, you would see this long piece of molding, this chair rail that I bought 6 years ago to make a chair rail in our living room. And it's in my garage, unfinished, right? It rebukes me every time I get out of the car. You'd also see these cornhole boards, these beautiful cornhole boards that I've built but haven't quite finished 3 years ago, right? And they're still there, just waiting to be finished. And maybe it's different for you, but I think all of our lives are littered with unfinished products. One of the saddest days for me at Camp Greystone is to come back after closing day and to walk by the Fine Arts Center, and there are just tables upon tables of ceramics and crafts and pictures and projects that are just unfinished or just left for dead, right? That lanyard holder that you're making for your mom never quite made it into your bag, and there it sits waiting to be discarded. Sometimes our lives feel incomplete and unfinished and halfway done. And we're tempted to ask, maybe God has gotten disinterested. Maybe he's just gotten distracted by something more important. Maybe he's displeased with us and he just wants to scrap this work and start on a new one. And so we ask the question, has God forgotten us? Is he just like us with our projects? We just kind of lose interest and we find something better. Well, God's promise for us this morning is twofold. And the first promise is this, that we are the recipients of his masterpiece grace. From Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that you are God's workmanship. Now, in Greek, that's a special word. It's poema. It looks like poem or poetry. And what it means is that you are God's master work of art that he's been crafting and shaping and fashioning. He created you in Christ Jesus. That in God's sketchbook of imaginative love, before the dawn of time, he envisioned you, your life, your family, your situation as a masterwork of art that he was going to call into existence. Your story was this masterwork that he was going to write. And so he stands over the slab of marble of your life, and he sees beauty, and he sees meaning, and he sees purpose, and he sees majesty, and he sees glory. And he is powerful and good and loving enough to call that out of the stone, to call that out into existence as an act of power and of care and of imaginative love. You're his masterpiece of grace. But it's not just that you're this masterpiece of grace that he starts and then you're left in some hallway in the shadow of something that he's actually finished. He promises from Philippians chapter 1, finishing grace, completing grace, grace that brings you to resolution and to completion. That your life is not non-finito. It is not incomplete, unfinished, halfway. You're not trapped as some piece of marble. You're not static, but he's actually at work. That he hasn't stalled out. He hasn't lost interest. But he stands over that slab of marble of your life and patiently and deliberately and confidently and skillfully and with joy and delight, he is shaping and fashioning and working that piece of marble to make it into this glorious image of himself and for your good. So what that means is when you feel the sharp edge of the chisel of his grace chipping away at the gross and the sin and the muck of your life, don't mistake that for God's displeasure. And when you feel like it's such a slow process and it's not going anywhere, don't mistake that for God's disinterest or distraction. He is slowly and patiently shaping you into what he wants you to be. And when you feel the hammer blows and the knife scraping away the muck and the mire, that is a sign of God's love and his care for you, not his displeasure, not his distraction. It's a process, and every day, every second, every hour, every year is one step closer to that final reveal of that beautiful work of art he's making with your life. So you've got a choice this morning. You can be convinced that God's done with you, that he's washed his hands of you, that you're not worth anything, that you're not worth the effort. Or you can go to Ephesians chapter 2 and say, no, I am God's workmanship. I was created in the sketchbook of his imaginative love before the dawn of time. Therefore, my life means something. It's going someplace. It has value and worth in his eyes. And you can say, I'm just so weary of the process. Will it ever end? Or you can say, no, I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 and say that God will bring to completion the good work he started. He will never quit working and he will never quit shaping and molding and fashioning my life because he promised that he'd bring it to completion. I love what Martin Luther said. He said, this life is not righteousness, but it's growth in righteousness. It's not health, but it's healing. It's not being, but it is becoming. It's not rest, but it's exercise. He says, we are not what we shall be, but we are growing toward it. The process isn't finished, but it is ongoing. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not gleam in glory yet, but all is being made pure. The promise you have today is that you are God's workmanship. You're His masterpiece of grace. And the other promise you have is that He'll bring it to completion. That He promises you finishing grace so that you can be a living, breathing, trusting display of the very power and grace of God. That's the promise you have today. Bank on it. Let me pray for us as we finish up our time together. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are not done with us. We thank You that Your love is not as shallow and distractible and fickle as ours. That You shape us well. That You're not unwilling to bring the hard edge of Your chisel. You're not unwilling to bring the hammer blows of work into our life. And so we pray, Lord, that You would convince us of our worth in Your eyes and the costly, loving work You're doing to make us Your children through and through. We pray it in Your name. Amen.